Hello, my name is Michael Wood, lead pastor at First West. I'm thankful you've joined us today. At First West, our vision is to see people changed by the gospel and living out their Christ-centered purpose. I hope today's sermon will challenge your heart and drive you to dive deeper into your purpose created by God. If you have questions about our church, reach out to us by visiting our website, firstwest.cc. And so go to Deuteronomy chapter 1 as we continue this year to walk through the Bible is where we're at today. I hope that you've had a great weekend. We had kind of somewhat of a normal weekend between moving and trying to get in a home and get a nursery ready for a baby that's going to be here in 4 weeks, and just all that's going with that. Yesterday, we had soccer games in the morning, so we were out at Chenault Park, and we were coming home. As we're coming home, we're in the minivan, right, rocking out the minivan, and my wife, Abby, who's sitting right here, is rocking a belly of an eight-month pregnant woman, right? So she's in the passenger seat, boys are in the back. And as we're driving, I'm pulling into our neighborhood, and as I pull into our neighborhood, we had some drinks from Sonic in a little carrying case that were actually at Abby's feet in the floorboard. And one of those drinks, not because I took the turn too fast, but for some other reason, tipped over. It was one of the boys' Powerades. And so Powerade is now spilling in, is spilling in the floorboard. I'm driving, right? There's nothing I can do at the moment, okay? The boys, they're all buckled into their seats. There's nothing that, there is one hope for us in getting this Powerade cleaned up. And she's seated right in the passenger seat, and it's right at her feet. And so she goes, oh gosh, the Powerade, it's spilling everywhere. And she starts to move forward, and she goes to pick it up, and she can't reach it. That belly is just too big, and she is squirming and moving and trying to get to it. And we're just dying laughing. Like, it doesn't even matter that Powerade's going everywhere now. Like, it is so funny. She is giving it her best attempt in the urgency of the moment, and there's no hope. Like, it doesn't matter how good my prayer life is in the moment, my eight-month pregnant wife is not getting down there to where her feet are at. And this is even better. My oldest, my eight-year-old, he's in the back seat, and he says, I mean, again, we're all laughing. He says, hey, Daddy, are you going to tell the people at church about this in your sermon? And I said, you bet I am, buddy. You better believe it. So now we all know we had a great moment yesterday, and you get to share in it, all right? So it was quite fun and memorable. But here's what I would say in light of yes, that's crazy, right? And that's, I would say that's not normal life, but it was for us yesterday, all right? But here's what's true in our life. That there are things in our life much more important than a Powerade drink that do call for attention or call for urgency in our life. Maybe it's a situation or circumstance. Maybe it's something personal in our life, something about our character, something that we see, man, I've got to deal with this area of my life. And although we may see the need to do something about it, and may even at some level you feel a desire to do something about it, there's things at times that keep you from doing that. Right now, for Abby, it was a pregnant belly. But more often than not, what it is for my life and what I believe it is in our life that keep us from dealing with things in our life we need to deal with is fear. It's fear. Fear holds us back from doing or taking care of or addressing things in our life that maybe deep down we know we need to, but we just don't. We continue to put them off. We maybe try to act like we're just going to be apathetic about it or we try to deal with it in some way. And here's what some of us in the room and some of us that are watching today, we know to be true, is that it takes over our life. That fear of finally having to step in and deal with an issue or deal with a relationship, whatever, it takes over our life, and in a sense, it just becomes paralyzing. And here's the question that I want us to ask today as we're continuing this journey of following God's people, is that how can you and I, how can we be set free from our fear of who God's called us to be and maybe to do what God's called us to do? How can we be set free from that fear that so often oppresses us? It takes over our life. We're going to see today in Deuteronomy chapter 1 that Moses is going to recount. He's going to look back. The leader of God's people, Moses, is going to look back to a period in time to where the Israelites failed to enter into the promised land because their fear kept them from walking by faith.
All right, so if you've been with us and followed this journey, that God has these people, the Israelites, that he's committed to. He said, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. They end up in Egypt. Egypt enslaves them. They spend over 400 years there. Then God, through these 10 plagues, he delivers his people. They come to the edge of the Red Sea. The Egyptian army's coming after them. God delivers them, sets them free, walks them through the sea on dry ground. And now we're going to see that they have the opportunity to go into this land that God had promised them. If you remember all the way back as we began this journey, we talked about this guy named Abraham, right? And God had made this promise to this man, Abraham, and said, Abraham, out of you, you are going to be a light to the nations and you are going to be a nation of people. And when we think of nation, we think of people, a group of people, and we also think of a place. And so God, in that moment, from the very beginning of his relationship with these people, he had said, I am going to give you a place. And so now he's freed them from Egypt, and now he's leading them to this place that he has promised them. It's what we call the promised land. And today we're going to see that the Israelites, they failed to enter into that promised land because of fear. Their fear kept them from walking by faith. And so today, here's why it matters for you, is when we ask that question, the area of fear in your life that seems to be overtaking other areas of your life, how do you become free of that? Well, here's what I would say. It is authentic faith that frees me from paralyzing fear. Right? It's what we sing today, right? That you make me brave. Right? You make me brave. Right? And dealing with that fear, it's you, God. You're the one that makes me risk. So authentic faith frees me from my fear. So God delivers his people out of Egypt, and they go to an area called Horeb, or Mount Sinai was the peak of the mountain, right? You may have heard that before. They go to that area. They spend about a year there. God's people are there for about a year, and during that time, there's significant things that happen. God lays down the law and says, this is what it's going to mean for you to be my people, and how you are going to be a light to all the other nations, that they will see that the people of Israel, their God is the one true God, because your lives are markedly different than all the other nations. He sets up these people called priests, these men who would serve as mediators between sinful, rebellious people and a holy, perfect God. The priest would serve as that mediator. And he also put in that time the idea of the sacrificial system, or how the people of God would worship during this time with God would be through these sacrifices that they would offer. Well, after about a year, God gave the instruction to them, it's time to move forward. It's time to move on. In fact, you can see in Deuteronomy chapter 1, in verse 6, where it talks to 6 and 7, where Moses kind of lays out, it says, the Lord spoke to us at Horeb. He spoke to us and said, listen, resume your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites. Right? So after a year, God gives them that instruction and says, I want you to make this journey from where you're at, and I want you to go to the hill country of the Amorites. Now, where that would put them at the southern part of this land that God had promised to them. It would put them right there on the cusp of walking into it. And so they would take this 11-day journey as they would go to this place called Kadesh Barnea. And I want you to see in verse 19, that's where we're going to pick up today, to see how authentic faith frees you from paralyzing fear. Look at me in verse 19. We're going to read through verse 21. Moses writes, we then set out from Horeb and went across all the great and terrible wilderness you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as the Lord our God had commanded us. When we reached Kadesh Barnea, I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and take possession of it as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. So at this point, they haven't gone into the land or even made the attempt. Moses is just explaining, listen, we're going to do this. We're going to go to Kadesh Barnea. We're going to be right there at the cusp of walking into the land. And when you get there, go for it. And he gives that important phrase there at the very end of verse 21. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged. Now listen, you recognize it's easy to tell someone that, and it's easy maybe at times to even hear that. It's another thing to walk in that, right? I can tell my kids or any young child when they're going to the doctor to get a shot, whether it's a booster shot or a flu shot or any other shot, right? Hey, don't be afraid. You're going to get some awesome stickers when you get done. right? Or maybe you're going to get a sucker or whatever, right? It's easy for me to say that. It's another thing for a child to believe that, to not be afraid. And so we recognize, I hope you recognize the weight of walking through this today. I hope you don't think I'm just saying this flippantly and I'm dismissing the reality of what's in front of you and fears that you see in front of you. But I think in this, from the very beginning, as Moses gives this instruction to his people, it helps us today to think about authentic faith freeing us from paralyzing fear, because we can see here in this passage that I'm freed from faith paralyzing fear by remembering what God has promised me. Right? That's what he's saying to them. Right? Don't be afraid. You're going to come to that place where you're about to enter into the promised land, but do not be afraid. And the reason that you are not to be terrified, the reason you're not to be afraid is why? Because he's already said it. You're going to the land that the Lord has given us. The Lord has given it to us. Don't allow fear to overtake you, guys. Know that God has already given this place to you. I had someone ask me a question several years ago. It's a great question. Some of you, I think God may have you here today just to hear this question. I had a friend ask me, he said, Michael, what would you do for God if you knew that there was no chance of failure? I thought, that's a great question. What dream has God put in your heart that you would chase after if you knew there was no chance that you would fail? And in a sense, what Moses is saying here to the people is, listen, when you come to the land, go for it. And the reason that you need to go for it, and not just go for it, but to not be crippled by fear, is because there's no chance of failure. God has already given it to you. He says there that he has not only given him the land, he says he has set it up before you. I think of the idea there of setting a ball on a tee, right? He has set the land right there for you. It's right in your sweet spot to just walk into it, to walk by faith, but you're not walking blindly by faith. You're walking into this knowing that God has set it up before you. And then, not even that, if that's not enough of these promises that Moses was laying out to them that God had put on their plate, but even in how he's talking about the Lord here, right? When he says, the Lord our God, it's the name of Yahweh and Elohim. It's the covenant name of God, of saying, this is our God. This is not a God that's simply up in the heavens that has no clue who we are and we're just hoping that maybe he'll have favor on us. This is our God who is for us and with us and in this together. He reminds them, not only is he the Lord our God, he is the God of our fathers. He is that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who has been faithful to them and who has kept his promise to them throughout this whole journey. In fact, if you look back at Genesis chapter 15 that we covered from the very beginning, where God was making this commitment to Abraham, he told Abraham, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people, and there will be a time where your people, they will go into slavery. And four generations later, or 400 years later, I will deliver them. And now they're living in that. The God of their fathers that had made these promises to their fathers was fulfilling his promises in this day. I think in this moment of the parent who's standing in the swimming pool waiting for their child to jump off the ledge. Right? Not even off the high dive, just off the edge. Right? And as I say some of these phrases, some of you will smile because you've said it before, either to one of your kids or your grandkids or a friend or the little punk at the swimming pool, right? Maybe you wouldn't say it to the punk. All right, but you stand there in that moment and you say, all right, jump. Go ahead, jump. I'm right here. Jump. Come on, I'm not going to let anything happen to you. It's okay. You'll be just fine, right? In that moment, you're making promises to this child and you're hoping that the credibility of who you are as a mom, as a dad, as a grandparent, as an aunt, an uncle, a friend, you're hoping that the credibility of who you are and the promise that you've made to them will help them move from a place of fear, standing on the edge, not willing to jump, to trusting you to say, you know what, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be terrified. I hear what they're saying and I take them at their word and I'm going to jump. Man, it sounds so easy when we talk about it that way, right? For some of us, we're in this room today or we're listening today and we recognize that for months and months and maybe years, God has been saying over and over again, jump. I'm right here. You can trust my promises. I'm for you. And yet, all the while, that fear has paralyzed our faith. Moses is saying, it doesn't have to be that way. Remember who your God is. Remember what God says about us, right? That he will never leave us or forsake us. Right? Jesus says, listen, I've come to give you life, an abundant life. I've come to give you a great life. And listen, here's the joy that we have as believers is that even if we jump and it doesn't go all to plan and we have to walk through some difficulties, the Bible says that it's a no-lose venture because even in those hard moments, the Bible says it is suffering that produces endurance in our life. That it's the difficult moments in that jump that God's using to shape our character to look more and more like him. Think of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus instructs those listeners. He says, hey, don't worry. Right? Worry and fear, very closely connected. It's hard to know where one stops and the other starts, right? In that moment, Jesus says, listen, don't worry about your food. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about your body. Right? Remember, he talks about the bird. He says, even the birds, they don't collect up food in the barns, right? And God takes care of their needs every day. And the lilies, they don't worry about what they're going to wear, but God provides. He dresses them every single day. And then do you remember in verse 33? This is the encouragement that he gives us today as we stand on the edge of the pool. He says this, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. You see, God knows who he is, and he knows how he cares for you. And so he says, listen, you come after me. And know these things that are out there that you worry about or that you're feared about, you come after me and trust my promises and trust my character that when you take that step to jump, I'm going to care for you in that journey. And so Moses says, don't be afraid. You can be freed to move forward when you remember what God says about you. But here's what we see with God's people. Moses has made it very clear as they got there. Listen, you can go. It's a no-fail venture. You can go for it. And in that moment, here's what they do as they stand there on the edge of the pool. They walk down to the steps and start going down the steps. You've seen that before, right? Come on, jump. Get in the pool. Get in the pool. Come on, jump, jump. I got you. I got you. I got you. And then the head goes down in the walk of shame as they go to the steps, right? They're taking the easy way out. And that's kind of what we see with God's people. They're on the step of the promised land, or right there, you know, ready to go, ready to jump. And Moses reminds us, we see this in verse 22 down through verse 28. It says that Moses says, well, you guys came to me and you said, why don't we send some spies into the land? You know, before we really go for it, let's do our homework. Let's see what happens. And so they take one man from each tribe. They take 12 men and they send them into the promised land. And when the men come back, they come back actually with a good report. They say, listen, it's a great land. It's flowing with milk and honey. This land that God is giving to us, it is a good land. But the problem is that in that moment, fear is still lurking. And they begin to worry and begin to get concerned. In fact, they begin to grumble about it and complain about it. In fact, they're grumbling about the Lord. They're saying this. Think about this. This is the God who's delivered them from Egypt. He's delivered them through the Red Sea. And they say, God has brought us to this place to kill us by the hands of the Amorites. Really? Like, really? Like, God's delivered you all this way, and now you get to this place, and you think he's done all this just to kill you right here. But they do. That's what fear is doing in them. And one of their main complaints was about the large inhabitants of the land, the people who were there. They were not thinking about who God was and how God had delivered them so far and that he was giving this land. They were concerned about the immediate, the specific, what was in front of them, what they could see. And it's from that place that Moses says to him, look with me in verse 29. Moses says this, so I said to you, don't be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will fight for you, just as you saw him do for you in Egypt. So if authentic faith, if it's going to free us from paralyzing fear, we start with this idea of understanding, remembering God's promises for us. But in the midst of being on the doorstep into the promised land, of being at the edge of the pool and that fear that is crippling them, specifically now how large these inhabitants are, Moses comes back to this understanding. Listen, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Even in the midst of what you're looking at, don't be afraid. Why? Well, I'm freed from my faith-paralyzing fear by trusting that God fights for me. So we see here, he says, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. It doesn't matter how big they are, right? It is God who fights for us. It was a God who fought for them by delivering them from Egypt. It was a God who fought for them by, parting the sea so that the Israelites could walk across on dry land. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I did a couple of weeks ago talking about how God fights for us and the confidence that can give us to live the Christian life. But I'm just reminded of Moses there when the Red Sea was parted. As he said to his people, watch. Stand firm and just watch and see the salvation of your God. Watch and see how God delivers us from our enemies. And here they are again. Even though they experience God delivering them from their enemies, here they are again at the edge of the pool, ready to jump. And they don't trust that God will fight for them. Listen, I don't know who this is for today, but for some of you, you've seen God and you've walked in faith and faced some of your fears, but you're right back at a place again of that fear in front of you. And I would just say, don't think that just because you were faithful back then to walk through it means that you can be faithful right now. You've got to trust God. You've got to trust Him. Don't bank on past wins to help you walk through this journey. You've got to go back to that place of remembering that it is God who fights for you. I think of Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. Right? Some trust in horses, and some trust in chariots. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Right now, in your situation, are you trusting in the name of God? Are you trusting that if these giants that they were seeing in the promised land, if that was bringing fear into their life, if God couldn't handle them, then who could, right? And the truth was, God was on their side fighting for them. And I would just want to remind you today that in the midst of what's in front of you, in the midst of a relationship that's got to be dealt with, or a hard decision that you've got to make, or a medical diagnosis, or whatever it is in your life right now, would you just know that God's bigger than that? And that He is fighting for the people He loves. Last thing I want us to see is that we're freed, not just by understanding God's promises, or trusting that He fights for us, but that we're freed from faith paralyzing fear because we recall how God has carried me. Look with me in verse 31 through 33. He says, and you saw in the wilderness how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all along the way you traveled until you reached this place. But in spite of this, you did not trust the Lord your God, who went before you on the journey to seek out a place for you to camp. He went in the fire by night and in the cloud by day to guide you on the road you were to travel. Now, this is coming right on the heels of the instruction that He's given them, that God was the one that fights for them, right? So He's saying, don't be afraid, don't be terrified because God fights for you, but then also remember how God has carried you. Don't you love the imagery? I think the imagery of this is so beautiful, right? As He's speaking to how God was with him in this moment, he said, God was like the man who carries his child all along this journey. Right, you've been there before when your kid says, hey, daddy, will you carry me? Hey, can I get on your shoulders? And you think, yeah, absolutely. You can get on my shoulders. You get on your shoulders. You think, oh, this is nice. I'm a great person for doing this. And about 30 steps later, you're thinking, this is a terrible idea. Why did we have kids, right? Right, because in that moment, you recognize it cost you something to carry the person on your back. And Moses is saying to him, listen, you can jump. You can walk by faith. You don't have to be paralyzed because as you look back, you see that God has been sustaining us day after day after day. He has put us on His back, and it is by His doing, not ours, that we are here. God has cared for us. I mean, you think about for the people, right? They went from Egypt, where an oppressive society, in some ways, a culture defined by death for the people of God as they were there in slavery. But in the midst of that, they would have had structure at some sort, right? There would have been a place that each night they would have returned to sleep, or there would have been a place by day, even though they were under oppression, they would be able to get that meal that they needed, right? There was some structure to their life. And now all of a sudden they're thrown. Yes, they're delivered from their slavery and they're free people, but now they are thrown into what? Into a completely unstructured life. Completely, they don't know where they're sleeping. They don't know what they're eating, right? They're thrown into a completely unstructured life. You've heard me share with you about just getting to spend some time around men who are incarcerated right now. And you have the conversations with them, and when you hear that they're just a couple of months away from getting out, you expect to hear excitement in their voice, opportunity in their voice. And so often more times than less, is that when you have those conversations, it's not a conversation that they're responding with excitement, they're responding with fear and concern. Because although they're in a place where they're, you know, don't have control over their life, their structure, and now they're getting thrown into this unknown where there is no structure. So I'm thankful for the church that we support a ministry called the Freedmen Ministry and Freed Women Ministry, where we take people in this season of life and we try to put some structure around them and try to love them in the name of Jesus to help them get back on their feet. But you can imagine how difficult that might be to go from having structure in my life to no structure. That's exactly what the people of God did. Moses says, listen, you don't have to be afraid or fearful, because in these unstructured moments of your life, it has been God who has been carrying you all along. Not only that, he's guiding them. He's guiding them. You see it there in verse 33, right? He went into the fire by night and to the cloud by day to guide you. He was guiding them in this process. So you can be freed from that fear, because you know not only has God made these promises to you as a believer, as a follower in him, but you recognize that, listen, he's fighting for you and that he's carrying you. He cares for you in this journey of life. Listen, I want to do something a little bit different as we close today. And it's easy for us to maybe easy for me to share a message like this, right? Of just face your fears, go through it, walk by faith. Don't follow the example of God's people here that in their faithlessness, they chose not to enter in. But it's another thing when rubber meets the road. And so I want us to hear from one of you about walking through this season and what that's been like. Some of you are scared to death. You think I'm going to pick you. No, I already know who's coming, all right? Robbie, I'm going to ask you to come up here. Robbie Compton. Robbie's grown up in this community, has been here a very, 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 very long time. That is a joke about his age. He's been here a long time. And actually this year is serving as our chairman of deacons. And Robbie, over the last year, has walked through Deuteronomy chapter 1, right? And I want you just to hear from, not a preacher, right, of one of you, of what it looks like when it comes to this issue of fear that could paralyze your faith and yet how to press into that. So, Robbie, tell us a little bit just about the situation that you found yourself in.
Well, last summer, I worked for a company for over 20 years. I was very happy. You know, nothing to complain about. I was very comfortable in what I did. And I had an opportunity that was given to me, you know, to do something similar to what I was doing, but for someone else. And it was a good opportunity. And it was one of those kind of opportunities that if you get, you think, okay, this is God. God's given me an attaboy. You know what I mean? There's something here that's going to help me and help my family. And, you know, we knew it was about the same time I had a kid coming to college. We didn't know what was going on with TOPS. I knew how much money I had set aside for college. Like, you know, this is God helping me out. And so Leslie and I talked about it a lot, and it seemed like the right decision. It was pretty quickly I realized that it was not the right decision. I found out that, you know, just people just don't always look at things the same way. And I realized pretty quickly that I've thrown away something. You know, when you had been with a group of people and you'd worked with a group of people that you loved and loved you and you cared for you and I felt like I'd thrown something away, you know, but I said, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the best of it. It's just a challenge. We'll get through it. Yada, yada, yada. And it didn't get better.
Right. So you were at a place where now at a new place of employment, things are not going well. You're not comfortable, right? Now there's some options on the table, right? It's kind of what you said. It's one of three things, right?
Yeah.
Stay where you're at, even though you're not confident where you're at and some issues that are going on there. Possibly going back to this company you've been with for 20 years or another option.
Right.
Right. What was that like?
Well, I was still in good rapport with my old folks, and we talked all the time, and I could have easily gone back there. I could have, like you said, made the best of what I was doing, which I was trying to do. And it got to a point one day where I remember the day vividly. You know, where I just left work and came home, and, you know, I talked to Leslie about it, and she just looked at me and said, you do what you got to do. And I left, went back to work, and I realized, okay, we can live for how long on what I've got? And we can do this, and we can do this. And I'd made the decision. I'm going backwards. I'm going back where I was, and it's going to be great, and we'll do it. The next day, I bumped into a buddy of mine who'd been trying to get me to come to work with him for about 10 years. And we just had a great conversation that ended up going from, hey, Leslie, guess what I'm going to do? And to, oh, by the way, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to open something on my own, and I'm going to have to pay myself, and we probably won't get paid for about 3 months, and so let's go. You know, and that's where I think all the conversations I started having with, you know, you and some of my best friends right here, and so many guys in this church that have mentored me and helped me through the years, and,
yeah.
You know, basically it was, you know, attack your fear.
Yeah. So kind of that moment you knew you couldn't stay where you were at.
Right.
Let's go back and be easy, right? Where there was structure in place, just like we're talking about that. You go back to that structure or jump into a new season of life you've never been into before, right? A lot of newness and no structure at all, no guarantees, no promises, but yet you sense that's where God was leading you.
I did.
And there's a lot of fear that comes with that, right? Just
oh, yeah.
As you kind of alluded to. What was it like for you to press into that fear and to walk by faith, even though you had that fear? Because it wasn't just going to impact you,
yeah.
Right? It's going to impact your wife, your kid, a lot of people, right? That decision. And so to face that fear and to walk by faith through it, what was that like for you?
You know, it's funny, Michael. It was scary until it started happening. And once it started happening, it was great. You know, we got through some of it. And, of course, I had some fear.
Sure.
You know, but my biggest fear was I wanted Leslie to be happy. I didn't want Leslie to see when I was stressing or things were going on.
Right.
And, you know, I just thought about so many times. I heard a quote from somebody that I think a lot of that said, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking about that. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, walked through it and got to meet some great people and got some great guys working with me. And,
yeah.
The fear's still there.
Sure.
You know what I mean? There's always going to be fear.
Right.
But I understand how to tackle that fear now.
Yeah.
And, you know, God has provided.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't matter what we do. I mean, I thank God 20 times a day as I'm walking around that place.
Yeah.
And I can't explain it. I mean, it's really hard to explain. But I think what I've learned is it's okay to be afraid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The hardest part for me was, I think, to admit that I was afraid.
Yeah.
You know, and once I got through that point to where I could admit that I was afraid,
yeah.
And I could admit to God that I was afraid,
yeah.
And said, okay, I don't have this.
Right.
I don't want to say it got easy, but it went from tolerable to
right.
Pretty fun.
Well, and I love just hearing that, how God provided. Once you took that step of faith, right, man, it just started falling in place. God showed up and walked you through it. Last thing I want you to share is, you've made that decision, right? You're now walking in this new role, a lot of unknowns, right? How is God honoring your faith now too? Like you said, there's still fear. There's always going to be fear that we face, but that fear doesn't have to paralyze us, right? It hadn't paralyzed you. You're just continuing to walk by faith. How's the Lord rewarding that faith that you're walking in?
Well, I found out that if you are having a hard time keeping weight on, open a mattress store. When you're happy, you put 15 pounds just like that. But, you know, I get to work with some pretty cool guys. They joke with me because I've got the maturity of a 14-year-old boy, the average 14-year-old boy.
That's why you're our
chairman
of
deacons.
We're going to
say above average.
Yes,
that's
right.
That's why I'm the chairman of deacons.
Yes.
The blessings I get every day, man, I can't even explain. You know, we provide a service to people, you know, and it's, I think if you look at what you're doing as a ministry, you know what I mean? And whatever I try to do, I try to provide a service to somebody, no matter what I'm doing with my work. And if I can't better your situation, then I'm not the guy to help you.
Right.
And I try to feel that way with my guys. And they bless me more than I could ever explain. I mean, it's
awesome.
I got three guys that go to this church, one that's in here now and one that's serving in Calhoun, one that's serving in Fairbanks. And they teach me something every day.
That's awesome.
And just yesterday, a few of us got to talk to someone about Easter and invited him to church next week.
Yeah. Awesome.
And before it was over with, Hunter was trying to recruit him to play drums in the band at Calhoun. So, I mean, it's just there's opportunities I get now that I didn't get, you know, awesome. The other situation. It's pretty awesome.
Awesome. Hey, can we thank Robbie today for sharing? Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man. Again, I just wanted you to hear that today because it's real life, right? It was a decision to make, right? Is fear going to cripple him? Is he going to play it safe? Or just keep his head down and stay where he was at, even though he knew God was doing something new? Or is he going to walk into it? He's walked into it. Hasn't been easy, right? There's still times where fear exists, but just continue to walk by faith. And now what I love is just getting to watch Robbie's life and this new season God has him in. He's leaving a legacy with some guys that otherwise, at that old role, or even going back to his previous one, he never would have had. And so it's just so rewarding to see someone who's living out Deuteronomy chapter 1 saying, you know what, even though in Deuteronomy chapter 1 they were fearful and they didn't walk by faith, I'm going to trust God's promises. I'm going to trust that God fights for me. I'm going to trust that God cares for me all along this journey. I'm going to walk into that faith, right? And I'm not going to let fear hold me down. Last thing is this. I want you to think about this. God has said, I'm going to provide for you, I'm going to fight for you, and I'm going to care for you. To me, I would say those are all evidences of the love of God that he has for your life. And so when I choose fear over faith, what I'm doing is I'm revealing my heart that doubts God's love for me. And I pray today, above everything else, you would know, regardless of what you face, there is a God who loves you deeply. And he has demonstrated that by sending his son Jesus to die on a cross. And the author of Hebrews says this. He says, listen, today don't harden your hearts like they did in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Don't harden your hearts, but you step into the rest that is found only in God. And so where they walked in fear and not by faith, God in his love for you invites you today to walk by faith into the promised land of his presence because of what Christ did for you. And so today, if you don't know Christ, if fear is overtaking your life, listen, the place that you're at, if you don't know Jesus today, the place you're at is fear is overtaking your life. And you don't know those promises of God. And you don't know if God's fighting for you. And you don't know that God's caring for you. But I want you to know that today you can place your faith and your trust in Jesus to step out of the wilderness and step into the promised land of who he is and who he's called you to be. And it's not by performing well. It's not by being better. It's by faith and not being led by fear. Would you bow your heads with me today? I want to pray for you as we dismiss. And today as we bow our heads to pray, if you're here and you need to know Jesus, if fear has so crippled your life that you're unsure about even how to handle even the most basic of tasks, listen, could you just want to invite you, God invites you today to bring those things to him. But to bring it to him first by coming to him and acknowledging that you need him in your life. And to know that he does love you. He fervently loves you and has sent Jesus to pay the penalty for your sin. And today you can be forgiven of that sin. And to come into a right relationship with this God who loves you and fights for you and cares for you. And know that one day when you step off of this earth, when you step out of, in a sense, the wilderness, you can step into the promised land of his presence forever, for all of eternity, because of your faith in him. Maybe today you need to do just that, or maybe you're here today and you're in that place where fear is paralyzing your life. And in this moment that God's just reminding you, listen, I love you. I'm fighting for you. I'm providing for you. I'm caring for you. And maybe today is for you just to take that next step and say, you know what, I'm no longer going to let this fear overtake me.
Hey, I'm Josh Elliff, the campus pastor for the Calhoun campus here at First West. Thanks for watching today's broadcast. If you have questions or you want to make a spiritual decision, reach out to us. Call me at our office, 318-322-5104, and ask for me. I would love to connect with you as you process what God is doing in your life. Learn more about First West by visiting our website, firstwest.cc. Again, thanks for watching today.